I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
It's time for your Green and Gold update on Wisconsin Sports Daily, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
All right, we turn our attention to the Green Bay Packers. Joining us on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all. He is J.R. Radcliffe of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. How are we doing, J.R.?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Trying to, plan for whatever's coming from the sky for the fourth time in, 5 days?
I think you lobby for trending sports and weather reporter.
Yeah, well, I think I would get pretty sick of what I'm seeing on the weather screen. I would be very I'm not as enthusiastic about the weather as I am about sports.
Yes, me as well. So let's talk about this concept, this idea that you had for this column, as far as using the draft simulator over there at Pro Football Network and playing out some different drafts that you did here on Milwaukee Journal Sentinel website.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple concept and pretty fun. You know, this isn't the best draft for mock draft Packers coverage because they don't have that first round pick. Usually around this time, I've written probably, 10 to 12 recaps of mock drafts or whatnot.
Yep.
A little slower this year because most mock drafts only concern themselves with the first round. So that doesn't really apply to the Packers unless they make a trade, and that's not the type of thing you can really predict. So, have to get a little creative, and there's plenty of mock draft simulators out there. All of them have different amounts of data in terms of what the Packers' needs might be, who's going to be available, what needs of other teams are. Some are smarter than others, so you run some simulations and let people know who the Packers got. And I think it's cool to dig into some of these names. I think after a while, the names start to your eyes start to gloss over. There's a lot of guys. It's hard to it's obviously extremely difficult to predict who will be the 52nd player selected in the draft will be. So you just try to give people some names, some framework, and I myself learn a lot about these players. I have not heard of most of the guys who are going, at pick 160 and 201 in the draft. So I'm training myself a little bit along the way to try to get to know some of these guys that might end up. Might end up really key Packers, even though we haven't heard of them, even as college players to this point.
I am a big fan of that Pro Football Network draft simulator. Now they got the GM mode as well that you can use that I've messed around with as well. That's a lot of fun. So I saw that you made trades in these. Now I'll do it on a given night and not make any trades. And sometimes I'll get super aggressive and may make a couple of trades. Did you have any boundaries for yourself on these simulations?
No, if I try to insert myself, which is certainly the more fun thing to do, my lack of knowledge in trying to project some of the fifth, sixth round picks, it just wouldn't work. So I just let the simulation do its thing. And what I like about this one, this site, is it does throw some trades at you. Some of them do not make sense to me. I'm not going to lie to you. I just don't know why the Packers, who only have 8 picks and don't have a first round pick, would trade a third round pick for, a slightly lower third-round pick and, a third-round pick in 2027. I don't know why they would do that. That just doesn't seem like the situation they're in. But I don't know. Brian Gutekunst frequently does things that I wouldn't be able to predict. So so I just wrote exactly what the simulation gave me, and I thought that was kind of fun, too. And you start to see some of the players, based on where they're situated in the third round, second round, third round, fourth round, who they would have to trade up to get, if they do find themselves in a situation where, say, all the good cornerbacks are off the board and suddenly they're kind of panicking a little bit, what would they have to do to move up from 52? And at what point, what players have to be gone for that to happen? You can start to see some of that. This is purely entertainment, I'm not providing my own, I do try to weigh in a little bit with some analysis on players in different stuff. Not so much with these simulations, but we're just trying to have a little fun with it.
So J.R. Radcliffe, trending sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Follow him on X at J.R. Radcliffe. So the first two mock simulations that you did involved the Packers taking a corner. The third mock simulation that you did that you said was your favorite one, they took a tight end in that third one. Now, again, they have Musgrave, obviously, coming back this year. You have Kraft coming off of injury. They take Eli Stowers, the tight end from Vanderbilt. Your thoughts on why you like that so much at 52? Because I'll be honest, if they take a tight end at 52, I'm not sure how excited I'm going to be knowing everything else they need.
Well, I'm going to that particular simulation. I liked pretty much as a whole simulation. I don't think I would take Eli Stowers either, because he's the next Luke Musgrave. Not a big guy. He's a reasonably large person.
6'3", 239.
Yeah. He's, as humans go, he's big, but he's not a big physical blocking tight end. He's going to do what Luke Musgrave does, which is, I mean, he had incredible college production, incredible, you know, very good speed. He's just not like a blocking guy. And I mean, they kind of already have that. So like, unless they're moving on from Luke Musgrave, I can't imagine they're putting, you know, two of those guys out on the field, or, you know, pairing Tucker Kraft with just a younger Luke Musgrave. So that's not the pick that I really thought made a lot of sense for the Packers. But this cornerback, Traydon Stooks, who they got in 84, LT Overton, an edge rusher from Alabama, who, you know, he's the type of guy who a year ago would have been on those way too early projection first round draft mock drafts, you know, like the draft ends and people are immediately like, here's the first round in the following year. LT Overton would have been on that list. He didn't have that great of a showing as a senior. Production was good, but like, it just, you could tell that he wasn't maybe at quite that level. Love the idea of getting an edge rusher from Alabama. I just think that sounds right. And you know, there's a running back, a very productive running back from Nebraska who was on this one, and a couple other names that I was charmed by. So that one I just liked as a whole unit. I would be kind of surprised if they didn't really address a need with that second pick, like a pick, you know, the cornerback edge.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases. We'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Rusher, there's enough there where they could do that with a second round pick. And I just can't imagine, I don't want to say throwing it away on a tight end, but you don't have a lot of chances to upgrade there. When you only when the first 51 guys are already off the board, I think you have to hit need, don't you? And I mean, again, they'll do what they're going to do, but I really think it's got to be an edge or a corner with that first pick.
What about wide receiver, J.R. Ratcliffe?
Ooh,
what about wide receiver? Because,
like,
again, if you look at some of these other mock drafts of some of these so-called experts that they're doing, and then you look at some of the guys that they're bringing in, guys that are 6'3", 6'4", and can run, right? I mean, Zell, mm-hmm. that guy from Tennessee, you got Hurst from Georgia State, both bigger dudes that can, taller dudes, I should say, because Brazell's definitely not big, but taller dudes that can flat out run. And it's got me thinking here, like, man, if they go take a 6'3", 6'4", wide receiver in the second round to start this thing off at 52 next Friday night, that's one of two things. Either A, that means they aren't going to sign Christian Watson to a long-term deal and they're trying to find his replacement, or B, they're looking for somebody else opposite of Christian Watson, and Matthew Golden is going to end up being that slot guy after they move on from Jaden Reed.
Yeah, I mean, the name you said there, Ted Hurst, really, really intrigues me, and I don't know if that's a guy they would take with that second-round pick, but that's a guy they brought in for a top 30 visit, yep. Like you said. Big guy, but very, very fluid. I actually did something else at jsonline.com where I spoke to a guy whose draft knowledge I deeply, deeply respect. A guy by the name of Tyler Brook. He has his own YouTube channel, yep. And writes for Acme Packing Company. He's brilliant on this stuff. Just follows the draft all year. And that's a name that he gave me. It was a list of like seven really Packers players who are, you know, they're going to draft one of these guys, right? They're bound to get one of these players at some point in the draft. And Ted Hurst was on that list. And I think that's definitely a name to circle. And, I mean, yeah, once Dontayvion Wicks was in Philadelphia, you have to open yourself up to receiver. And you know, the thing I like about Hurst is he's big, but also and speedy, but not necessarily the deep threat. Like, he could work just as a standard outside. You could keep Watson. Like, he doesn't have to replace what Christian Watson is doing. So, I'm intrigued by that. Wouldn't that be something if they go – I mean, it wouldn't be back-to-back first-round picks, but back-to-back first picks in the draft on wide receiver after they went to, you know, full generation without starting their draft at wide receiver. That would be a wild pivot, but, you know, I wouldn't put anything past the Packers.
Talking with J.R. Ratcliffe of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Follow him on X at J.R. Ratcliffe. What about defensive tackle? That's another position, I think, where
I know myself. I want one or two more big wide body guys that can go rotate in with Hargrave and Devontae Wyatt. With all due respect to Brooks, while he is nice and can be disruptive in the backfield, he's not that big of a dude. And considering how bad they've been against the run, I just think you need bigger, more wide body guys. And based on everything I've read, it appears that defensive tackles may be something that falls out of the first round in this draft coming up. And if that's the case, the Packers could have some nice options there at 52.
Yeah, you know what? Let me give you another name, because going back to that story I did with Tyler Brook at JS Online, we have a big guy for you. His name is Dominique Orange.
Yes.
His nickname is Big Citrus.
Yep.
He is a defensive lineman from Iowa State. As you might imagine, this man is a large, large person, 6'4", 325. And I think he's exactly what they're looking for. He was so essential to what Iowa State was doing. He doesn't have a lot of production because he was just basically assigned to, you know, chew up the front, let our linebackers do the work. And that's how things operated. So he's kind of hiding a little bit as somebody who doesn't have stats necessarily, but is somebody who would fit exactly what the Packers want. So if you are rooting for somebody second round, maybe the third round, I don't know. If you're a good defensive tackle, maybe he could fall out of the first round, but geez, that stuff's in such high demand as the Packers have seen here in the last couple of years. But that's a name. Circle that name. It's an easy one to remember. Dominique Orange. We'll see if that guy's available at 52 or, you know, like I said, third round two. There's a possibility.
I'm all about the Packer way, and I'm all about Brian Gutekunst acting like he doesn't know what relative athletic score is and they don't use it. And I laugh because you may not call it relative athletic score. You may call it something else in the front offices for the Packers. I understand that, but clearly there is a trend, right? You want to be 100%. Around 9 on that relative athletic score. You want to have somebody in the Senior Bowl because that's the other part of this that they normally like taking. And I would assume a lot of Tyler Brooks guys, if not all of them, probably fit that.
Absolutely. They are the best of the best in athleticism. The Packers have had a type on the again, you're right. They probably have their own system. It's probably not called relative athletic score, but they absolutely know who the athletic freaks are in the draft. And it's frequently the players that they are drafting. So yes, you got one of these guys on here is a 9.99, which I didn't even know that could happen. So yes, they have been kind of playing, you know, they've told us the type of player that they want. You know, the Packers don't often throw major curveballs. They can, every team does, but they often are getting guys that are just purely athletically gifted. You know, Rashawn Gary is the best example of this because he was a guy who was I think people thought that they reached quite a bit when they drafted him, but I mean, the raw athleticism on him kind of lost some of that actually during his tenure in Green Bay, but the whole like five-star pedigree, those types of guys, the Packers love those guys. Packers are interested, you know, and, you know, frequently you can take a pretty good guess on who's going to be a type of player Green Bay goes after.
There he is, J.R. Radcliffe, covers the Brewers, Packers, Bucks, all your favorite ones. Trading sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Follow him on X at J.R. Radcliffe. On the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all. As part of your job as trending sports reporter, are you covering WrestleMania? Because I am just befuddled by the fact that I have ESPN2, I guess, on. I was watching some NFL show or NBA, it was NBA show maybe, I don't know. And now all of a sudden I have wrestling, WWE wrestling pregame on ESPN. Like, what is going on?
Well, I will tell you, we do have people on staff who are very knowledgeable on the WrestleMania front.
So do we.
When we write about wrestling, which is, I shouldn't say fortunately, to each their own. It's not my thing. It's not for me. But when we do write about it, it does numbers, Sparky. People are reading about this. People love it. They love it. So I am not going to besmirch. Absolutely do your own thing. Again, it's not for me. I tend to focus on things that are going on in Wisconsin and about Wisconsin athletes, et cetera, et cetera. But when we write about it, people want it. People love that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, J.R. Radcliffe. Be safe tonight. And then hopefully this bad weather is done for at least a week or so.
Yeah, we might get like 48 hours of regular days. We'll see.
I saw the forecast. I saw sun through Wednesday. Don't do that to me now. Don't make me think.
Yeah, we should be fine. Yes. We should be fine.
Yeah, we should be fine. That's what we always say. JR, thank you so much.
See you later, man.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.